Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Alandari, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So, let's get started. Obesity training in medical school and the stigma that comes along with it. As the rate of obesity increases in the U.S. and around the world, doctors and medical professionals are still not receiving comprehensive obesity care instruction as part of their training, and this is beginning to have tangible impacts on patient care.
Nearly 42% of Americans suffer from obesity. Obesity itself is linked to over 200 chronic medical conditions, many of which are fatal. With the rates of obesity increasing and long lists of complications associated with obesity, one would expect medical training to focus ever more on treating and preventing obesity. However, a survey conducted in 2020 found that medical students on average only spend about 10 hours teaching about obesity, and there are no indications of that number increasing at all.
Very little consideration is given to the possibility of obesity being the cause of ailments, even though data clearly shows that it leads to a myriad of health challenges. On the other hand, sometimes obese patients do not receive the care they need for unrelated health concerns. One patient who saw doctors to treat her hip pain found that nearly every doctor attributed the hip pain to her weight. It took multiple visits to find a doctor who was willing to look past her weight as a cause of the hip pain. It turned out that she suffered from a severe curve in her spine.
This is just one example of potential harm being done by the stigma surrounding obesity, as well as the lack of education on obesity for doctors. If the ailments of an obese person are only ever attributed to their weight, the actual causes may go unnoticed, potentially causing even more harm to a patient, while an unwillingness to address obesity at all may lead to other serious problems down the road.
Many organ systems can be impacted by obesity as well as cause it. By limiting obese patients to only being defined by their weight, doctors are often not giving them the opportunity to be healthy. Understanding obesity as a multifaceted issue is something that requires more than 10 hours of training in medical school.
Yeah, you know, and also just we didn't talk about it very much here, but the stigma associated with that, the unfortunate stigma. We talk about this all the time on Noise Filter, in that the reason why America is obese as we see it is because of large areas of the country that have food deserts. People are exposed to only processed foods. The food options that we have to eat, the worst foods, the foods that have the high corn, the fructose syrups and this sort of stuff, are the cheaper foods. And these are the foods that lead to these obesities. So again, just poverty in America, just again, another untoward effect of poverty is this notion here in this case is specifically can lead to obesity. And of course, there's many other things that are there as well. But we just need to kind of call this what it is that just being poor in America hurts in so many different ways. And obesity is one of those ways.
Dr. Derry, do doctors have like bias training in medical school or
not when I went to medical school. I think that's happening now. Okay. But when I went to medical school, not at all. In fact, the bias training was to have as much bias as possible.
Oh, okay.
Because we were taught by boomers or even elderly, even more doctors that were, and they had no concept of their own biases. And if they did, it was never shared. I doubt it. I mean, we were just taught by older, you know, doctors, mostly men. And so the patriarchal biases that come with, you know, with older doctors, older boomers, you know, people that were born in the 30s and the 40s, those individuals all come with their own biases around, you know, gender, race, privilege, poverty. And so we were taught medicine from their perspective, which was with, again, a patriarchal perspective of medicine, of the doctor telling patients how to think, what to do, whatever. For me, that's never been my practice. I've always kind of worked with a person, my patients, to help make decisions between the two of us. So, you know, oftentimes we'll be like, well, I don't care, doc, you're the doctor. You say what the right thing is and I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes I find that patients who are engaged in making decisions with me are just more engaged in their care overall. And I think people appreciate that.
I agree. Actually, did some research on patient-centered communication with physicians, and it, by and far, it showed that when there's a collaborative relationship between the doctor and the patient, their prognosis and their adherence to, I guess, medical treatments is much more positive if the patient-centered communication is positive and there's more of that collaborative effort that you were talking about, Dr. Derry.
Yeah, 100%. But, you know, it's also kind of funny because it doesn't necessarily work on older patients. Older patients were just, they were always told what to do and what to think from these older doctors, right? Yep. So you just, it's kind of funny, you know, they don't want to be part of the decision-making process. Oh, no. This is all on you, doctor. I don't know. No. Why do you want my opinion? If I dip my toe and I get that response, I immediately get into kind of like make the decision and not engage somebody. So it's kind of a fun, you know, it's just like any job, but certainly for being a doctor, every patient interaction is different and it's just interesting in its own way. And if you kind of see it as an ability to kind of, you know, make a positive impact on people's lives, you just have to kind of change the way you do it for every patient. It does make your day kind of interesting as you go along.
True. Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast, follow us on social media, and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Pickerson, at hopepickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry. That's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.